we have decided to look for a while into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. It's a fairly long book. It is a book that occupies a great many pages of the Old Testament. There actually are three prophets that God particularly featured in the Old Testament, although there are many prophets, but there are three prophets, are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All three of these books are quite lengthy, and in addition, we call the minor prophets, which are minor only in that the prophecies they declared are relatively short, like Joel and Amos and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and so on. But the length of the number of pages that their prophecies have been recorded are not telling us the importance of who they were. It is simply the way God is giving us truth. But at any rate, we're going to look at Jeremiah. And in order to look at the book of Jeremiah, we have to turn to that in the Old Testament. Jeremiah. And we're going to learn about, not only about Jeremiah, but a whole lot about the times that he was living in. And in the process, we're also going to learn a lot about today. Because in many ways, we're going to find the book of Jeremiah is the newspaper for today. We're actually living in virtually the same situation, only about 2,500 years later, that Jeremiah was living in. The book of Jeremiah opens up with the first verse of chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Okay, well, that tells us a whole lot about the timing when Jeremiah is writing. He began to write in the 13th year of Josiah, and continued all the way until Babylon conquered Jerusalem in the year 587, and actually the 13th year of Josiah we will find is the year 627 B.C., and he prophesied till 587, which, and a little bit beyond that, because after that he also prophesied after some of the remnant that had been left in Jerusalem had gone into Egypt, but essentially his prophecy had to do with the 40-year period from the 13th year of King Josiah until the time when Jerusalem was completely destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 B.C. By God's mercy, you know, he's given us a calendar, a very accurate calendar of these events in the Bible, and we are able to tie these into our modern calendar of today so that these dates we can be quite certain of. Now, in order to get a picture of the situation, we have to go back to 2 Chronicles and learn a little bit about what is happening in the days of Josiah. Notice he began to he was called to prophesy in the 13th year of Josiah. And when we go back to Josiah, to 2 Chronicles, we find that these were very important days. We go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. The grandfather of Josiah was a very wicked king. Manasseh, a terribly wicked king. He had introduced all kinds of terrible things into the nation of Judah. By this time, Judah consisted of all 12 tribes, because before the days of Manasseh, the 10 tribes to the north that had been called Israel had been thoroughly conquered by the Assyrians, and the remnants from that tribe that were able to get out came down to or became under the headship also of the kings of Judah, and Manasseh was the principal king during that period. He reigned for about 52 years. He was the son of a very fine king also, Hezekiah, one of the greatest of the Old Testament kings. But Manasseh was a renegade of the first order. He was a very wicked king. He was followed by his son, who only reigned a couple of years, I believe. Let me see. His son Ammon was just reigned 2 years. And his grandson Josiah began to reign, and he was a very young man. The Bible tells us how old he was, 8 years old. But he was the heir apparent, and so he was the next king. When Ammon was killed, we read in verse 25 of 2 Chronicles chapter 33, the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his image. And just ahead of that it says, his servants conspired against him, that is Ammon, and slew him in his own house. And that is because of the extreme wickedness that was in the land at that time. All right, now, so we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, the last two verses, and 2 Chronicles chapter 34. So here we have a very interesting genealogy of kings. We have Hezekiah, who was a very God-fearing king. We have his son Manasseh, reigned 52 years, a very wicked son. A grandson Ammon, who reigned 2 years, very wicked. And now comes the great-grandson of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, Josiah. And we're going to find that he was one of the finest, most God-fearing kings of the Old Testament. Unfortunately, he came in too late. The damage had been done so grievously as Israel rebelled against the Lord that even though Josiah came in as a very God-fearing king, nevertheless, God had already decided to bring judgment upon Judah. And that's going to be the role of Jeremiah, to warn Judah that indeed that judgment is coming. All right, now let's spend a little bit of time now in 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. That means he was only 39 when he was killed. He was killed in battle, and that had to maybe later on we'll comment about that. But there was a very precise time in history when God's judgment had to fall on the nation of Judah. Everything that God has planned is in the fullness of time. And Josiah was in the way of God's judgment falling on Judah because he was such a faithful king. So at the age of 39, he got into a feudal dumb war with Egypt. He had no business getting into war with Egypt, and he was killed in battle. But that was God's very neat way of simply taking him out so that God's judgment could now freely fall on Judah. But we'll look at that a little bit later. Josiah was, again, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I'm reading this because this also sets the environment in which Jeremiah comes on the scene. Because remember, we read in Jeremiah chapter 1 that his official role as prophet began in the 13th year of Josiah. And we want to know, well, what was the condition in Judah at the time that he was particularly named of God to be a prophet to declare God's will for the future of Judah? Now, we go on in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 34, still speaking about Josiah. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, 16 years old, this youngster is really a man of God. And this, incidentally, is very interesting that God can use a young person just as well as an old person. I think, for example, of Moses. He was 80 years old before he was named to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But here is Josiah. He's a very young man. At the age of 16, we read, he began to seek after the God of David, his father, and in the 12th year, he's now 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Now notice this, the 12th year, this is 1 year before Jeremiah had been called into service. And so at that point in time, there's a king reigning who is doing something that had only happened one time before. Ever since the days of Solomon, a definite attempt to purge and destroy all of the Baal worship and Ashtoreth worship, the false worship that had come into the land of Judah. This was, Hezekiah had done that, and then Manasseh had reintroduced the whole business back again, and even worse than it was before. And because he reigned 52 years, he had ample time to put all of this in place. Now comes Josiah, a young man, 20 years old, and God has so laid his hand upon him that he is beginning to immediately, at 20 years of age, to destroy all of the high places. And verse 4, they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high among them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them and strawed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them, and so on. And then we read in verse 8. Now here's a young man that is a role model for any one of us, a role model for any of us, as we see him beginning at the age of 16 to really want to serve the Lord, although already at the age of 8, God has good things to say about him. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, now again, I keep that Jeremiah passage in view, the 18th year would have been after Jeremiah had received the call 5 years earlier. Remember, he received the call in the 13th year of Josiah, and now it's the 18th year. So at this time, in the 18th year, Jeremiah was already a particularly called prophet of the Lord. But he also, we're going to find, was a very young man. We don't know just how old, but he was a very young man. That we don't read about Jeremiah, though. We read, let's continue with Josiah a little while. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Jehu, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. That again is a real insight into the character of Josiah as well as into the character of Manasseh. Manasseh had allowed the temple to be desecrated and to be broken down, and there were no repairs made. And so now in the zeal of Josiah, as in his zeal, he sends men to make preparation to repair the house of God. Now this is going to be a very, very important action, as we're going to find. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest. Now, remember when we looked at Jeremiah chapter 1, it said, Jeremiah, who was of the priests of Anathoth. Incidentally, Anathoth was a little village that was about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem at that time. But it says he was the son of Hilkiah. But God nowhere in the Bible ties Jeremiah to this Hilkiah. In fact, he doesn't tell us any more about the father of Jeremiah, except that we know that here is the high priest, Hilkiah, who's ministering at the time that in the 18th year of Josiah, Jeremiah could have been a young man, 20 years of age or 21 years of age, something like that. He was still a very young man. And Hilkiah is the high priest. So there's a likelihood, a very strong likelihood, that Jeremiah was the son of the high priest Hilkiah. And let's find out what kind of a man he was. And this also tells us again something about what is happening as Jeremiah is ministering in the book of Jeremiah. When these men came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. In other words, they took offerings from all the tribes that were still identified with Jerusalem. It included Judah and Benjamin and remnants of Manasseh and Ephraim and anything else that was left over after the Assyrians had conquered the 10 tribes to the north. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. All right, and then we read in verse 12, and the man did the work faithfully. Then we read in verse 14. Now we have another insight into what is going on. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 34. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, that tells us about the extreme spiritual declension, or how bad the spiritual situation was in the days of Josiah. They did not have a Bible. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And here is Josiah that has come to reign, and the Bible had disappeared. It had disappeared. It was in the temple. Remember, everybody wasn't literate in that day as we are today. The priests were literate, and they would read the scribes would read what was in the copies that they had, and there were only a few copies, to the people of Israel. But apparently in the days of Manasseh was so wicked, as the temple was desecrated, the Bible was lost. Now, this tells us something about the mercy of God. Here is Josiah. Remember, this is the 18th year of his reign. He is now 26 years of age. 26 years of age. For the last 10 years, he has given evidence of really being a child of God. It wasn't because every morning he read a portion from the Bible. It wasn't because he was studiously reading the Bible. It was God's mercy. God's mercy. And remember, his father was a wicked man. His grandfather was the very essence of wickedness. Manasseh was his grandfather. He'd reigned for 52 years, and he certainly didn't learn anything from Manasseh. So how did he learn? We don't know. The Bible, it doesn't tell us. Surely there were a few faithful scribes a few faithful priests. Certainly Hilkiah, the high priest, from what we read about him, appears to be a man of God, and perhaps his father was Hilkiah and taught him just in a verbal way, not with a written word. At any rate, here they found a copy of the Bible. Now, their Bible, of course, wasn't like our Bible. It was the Law of Moses. Probably what they found was the first five books of the Bible. That's what Moses had written. There may have been more to it, but at least they found the first five books of the Bible. Then Hilkiah, who obviously must have been a God-fearing high priest, answered, although again, you wonder, and we can't reconstruct history, but you wonder how a high priest can function without the written word. Now, certainly the customs of offerings and so on had been handed down and had been memorized, and that ritual had probably been ingrained into them, and maybe they had commentaries on the Bible that they had access to. All of that was possible. But Hilkiah also has been operating for years without the written word of God. But he really recognizes the supreme importance of the word of God. Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word again, saying, "All that was committed to thy servants, they do it." And then we read in verse 19, and here we find the predictable reaction of a God-fearing king to the word of God. Verse 19, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book.'" In other words, this is the predictable reaction of a child of God when we find any truth in the Bible. We've come to the end of our time, and so we have to, we can't go any further with this program. We trust that you will look into the Bible and read these things we've been talking about. Check it out to make sure that what you are hearing on this program is faithful to the Word of God, because finally, the only authority is the Bible.